Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. We're continuing our trek through the scripture here. We're going through the scripture book by book, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And last time we ended up in the book of Acts, so we're going to continue where we left off. We're in Acts chapter 18, about verse 4. Before I moved on, though, I had a comment from a listener who commented about Paul taking Timothy, and circumcising him before he took him into the synagogue. And there is a contradiction there because Paul... there is a dispute that arises among those who are of the circumcision saying that the Gentiles need to be circumcised. Of course, we're going back 2,000 years now where in the land around Jerusalem where they had synagogues in many of the cities of the Roman Empire. So these things were coming up. And they determined that that wasn't one of the necessary things. It wasn't necessary for the Greeks and the believers of the other nations who were coming to the knowledge of the Messiah. It wasn't necessary for them to be circumcised, but that there were necessary things, and we discussed those necessary things. They were as to fornication, to stay away from fornication, which means all, which envelops all forms of sexual immorality. Of course, then they talked about eating food sacrificed to idols, to abstain from blood, and strangled meats, and that would mean meats that are not properly slaughtered to retain the blood. Of course, those are references to the dietary law, and we talked about that a little bit. But then afterwards, Paul takes Timothy and has him circumcised so that Timothy can be tutored or mentored by Paul, which would require Timothy to enter into the synagogue. And one of the questions came up was, did they check to see if they were circumcised as they went into the synagogue? Well, no, they didn't. They didn't check everyone to see that they were circumcised, because usually they knew who was coming into the synagogue. They knew whether they were of the faith or not, Jews, if you want to use that word. Of course, there was no such word at that time, but they knew the people, and they would know that Timothy was a Greek. They could tell by his speech, perhaps. You know, certainly like at the temple, they had the temple guard, and one of the job of the temple guard, and perhaps the doorman, or whatever you call the equivalent, as most churches you go in, there's someone standing at the door there, and a greeter or whatever, but they would know that Timothy was a Greek. A man who was Greek, and they wouldn't allow him in the temple. I mean, in the synagogue with Paul. Or they would have at least questioned him. And his defense was, well, that his mother was a, as the authorized King James Version says, that she was a Jewess. And also he had been circumcised. So they would allow him in. It was that simple. Is that they would have questioned because, and they would question people that they didn't know, and they were obviously not Hebrew or Jewish, if you prefer the word. But they were obviously not of the faith of Israel. And that would be easy to spot. It would be by their dress, perhaps by their speech. And so, no, they didn't check everyone, but they may have questioned people. And I'm sure that once it was explained by Paul and Timothy that, yes, his mother was a Jewess, that was one, but not necessary, because a man did not have to be Hebrew, but he had to be a sojourner. The scripture talks about in the Old Testament, the stranger that sojourns with you shall be as one of you. And what that means when it says the stranger who sojourns with you, that is one who joins your faith and joins your nation and becomes one of you. And I drew the illustration, I believe, last time, how we have strangers in America who are not sojourning with us. They maintain their foreign identity. But it was not so. That's not what it was talking about when it said, the stranger who sojourns with you shall be as one of you. That someone could come in from another nation and they could receive the faith. And that's, we see a lot of that is where Paul is traveling around and we're meeting people of the Greeks and of the other nations in the Roman Empire who attached themselves fast or hard to the synagogue because they wanted to worship the one true God of Israel. See, they came to a saving knowledge of who the God of Israel was, Yahuwah. They were looking forward to his Redeemer. They adopted the faith and attended the synagogue rather than the other religions that were offered by whatever their native nation was. So anyway, I wanted to make that comment. Let's pick up here in chapter 18, and let's just start, let's see. Well, we might as well just start at chapter 18, verse 1. We'll back up a few verses. I'd like to do that to get the full context. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth, and found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because that Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, okay, so Paul was a tent maker, and of course then this man, Aquila, was also a tent maker. So because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and wrought for by their occupation. They were tent makers. So that makes sense. You go into a town, you're looking for work, and you attach yourself to the people that do the work that you do. They're in the same craft that you're in. So that's what Paul is doing here. It says here in verse 4, and he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. So we had Greeks attending the synagogue and as it says, they were in Corinth. And when Silas and Timothy were come to Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And of course, Yahshua was Messiah. And if he was talking to the Jews or the Yahudi, the people of God that were called by his name, he would have said, Yahshua is Messiah. And that would have been his witness to them. And when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go to the Gentiles. And he departed thence and entered into a certain man's house named Justus, one that worshipped God, and whose house joined, and here we have the example I was telling you about, whose house joined hard to the synagogue. So we have Justus, a man of the Gentiles, who worshipped God, the one true God, and that was the God of Israel. Of course, the one true God, creator of the universe, of everything. And he joined hard to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing, believed, and were baptized. Then spake the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace. For I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them. And when Gallio, the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made instruction with one accord against Paul and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, this fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And of course, we know that that is not true. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, if it were a matter of wrong or wicked lewdness, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be a question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. So you have a civil magistrate here saying that I'm not going to judge a religious matter. And he drove them from the judgment seat. And all the Greeks took Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. It means he really didn't care about it at all. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet a good while, and then took his leave of the brethren and sailed thence to Syria, and with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Crenshea, for he had a vow. So Paul shaved his head as a vow, as part of a vow. And he came to Ephesus and left them there. But he himself entered into the synagogue and, of course, reasoned with God's people, the Jews, as it says here. And, you know, the reason I really kind of cringe when I read the Jews, because when you read the Jews in 2,000 years ago, the document we're reading is about, you know, 2,000 years ago. A lot of people like to equate the term Jews with the same people that are over there in Palestine today. And because they're the real Jews, because they're the first people that were a nation that was ever called Jews, the ones that are over there today. When the Israelites were in their land, they were never called Jews back 2,000 years ago. There was no such term for Jews. So we have to make a difference there as we're talking about, the people 2,000 years ago, that nation, and that nation over there today is two different things totally. As far as I'm able to discern, that most of the people, especially the ruling party, over there today, most of them are not the seed line, or not Jews or by blood. They're not Israel. Put it that way. They're not Israel by blood, but they're Jews in name only, most of them. There are a few. There are Sephardim and there are Ashkenazim. And so there are two different types. The Sephardim are supposed to be actual the seed of Israel. And who knows? I mean, who kept their, how many of them really have a genealogy that they kept? And what difference would it make? Because once the Daniel 70th week was up and the time for thy people Israel, was fulfilled, 70 weeks are determined for thy people Israel was the word to the prophet Daniel. Once the 70 weeks were up, national Israel, took its status on equal footing with all of the other unbelieving nations on the earth, because that's all they became at that point. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the faith. They kept a shell of a faith, yes, those that kept it, but those that were stubborn and stayed in the land and tried to keep the national Israel void of the Messiah, they were taken captive or slain by the sword, as the prophet foretold. That the desolation came, and that was it. Like I said, they were either taken captive to all nations, as the prophet foretold, or slain by the sword, and that was the fate of national Israel, of course, with the destruction of Jerusalem and whatever was left of their nation. Those that were faithful, the true people of God, well, they listened to the Messiah, because he said, when you see these signs, you flee. So they obeyed their Messiah. They were the true followers of the faith. The true people of God fled. They listened to the Messiah. And when it was time, when they saw the signs that he foretold, he said, this is serious business. You know, if you're on top of the house, don't go back in the house to get your stuff. Flee. Woe to them that give suck in those days. In other words, take the babies and run. It's going to be hard. Because the thing is, you know, when you have children, you have a family, the thing you really want to do is stay put where you are. You don't want to be doing, you can't, fleeing is out of the question, you know. You don't want to do that, but he pressed them hard enough. He made a point to tell them that woe to them that give suck in those days. Yes, it's going to be hard, but grab the babies and run anyway, because that is the kind of times that are coming. So that's what the faithful did, the true people of God fled Israel before the destruction of Israel. And as the prophet also said, was told and foretold, he said, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. And I believe that's why we have the iron and clay until this day. Yeah, check it out for yourself. But anyway, it's nice when we're reading about the times that they were in, reading in Acts and the Gospels, to have this in mind, you know, the place in prophecy and history that we're reading about. Let's continue here. So, chapter 18, verse 19 of Acts, he came to Ephesus and left them there, but he himself entered into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they desired him to tarry longer time with them, he consented not, but bade them farewell, saying, I must by all means keep the feast that cometh in Jerusalem, but I will return again unto you, if God will. And he sailed from Ephesus. And when he had landed in Caesarea and gone up and saluted the church, he went down to Antioch. And after he'd spent some time there, he departed and went over all the country of Galatia and Phrygia in order, strengthening all the disciples. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. Of course, the gospel of Yahshua. And when he was disposed to pass to Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. For he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Yahshua was Messiah, or Jesus was Christ. Chapter 19 and verse 1. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Yahshua the Messiah, or Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And when Paul had laid his hands upon him, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12. And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. And when diverse were hardened and believed not, so different men were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus. And this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they which dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were wrought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And there you have the pretenders today on the TV sending out little handkerchiefs and stuff, like they have this power. And perhaps, who knows? And of course, they get people to get excited about their healing crusades and send them a lot of money by the power of television. I think that's the real power, is the power of television. These special miracles were there to authenticate the work of the gospel being spread by Paul. And that's not to say that our Heavenly Father cannot do miracles by the hand of a man today to authenticate the work of of a man. But the fact is, miracles are not for the unfaithful. Miracles are not for those who are wicked and practice unrighteousness. Miracles are not for blasphemers. The only thing the miracles would do for them is condemn them and bring a greater judgment upon them. The miracles are there to verify to the righteous, to those that are obedient to the Heavenly Father, to those that seek His kingdom. The miracles are there to verify the word of the one who is bringing a message that they need to hear. And this was a new message, and that was the gospel of salvation through the Yeshua, the Messiah. To verify that, the miracles were there to verify the work of Paul in his office as of an apostle to the nations, and also as he traveled to the Jews, or the Yahudi, the people of God, Israelis, the people of Israel, as they were living in the Roman Empire and had planted synagogues in many of the cities of the Roman Empire. And of course, in these cities, they would have proselytes, people who would come over from the other nations and join to the faith, looking forward to the promised Redeemer of mankind, of course, teaching the resurrection of the dead. A very compelling message in any age. You're listening to Cross the Border. We're going into a break here. I'll be back in a few minutes.